Good morning, church. Are you excited to be here this morning? Well, that is the correct answer, yes. But are you excited to be here? Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father God, as we come to you now, we're going to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're going to sing songs, lift up our voices, just show forth praises. Father, we just ask that you just meet us here once again with your Holy Spirit, that we just have a beautiful and awesome time of worship, what it's going to be like in, with you in heaven someday. So we thank you for now, this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. My God, in Him will I trust. My God, in Him will I trust.
Amen.
You know, I was reading about Job yesterday, and that guy went through some trials to lose all his material wealth, to lose his children, and just to be hit so hard health-wise. I mean, Satan just short of killing him. And, you know, his three friends showed up, and they sat silently for 7 days. Can you imagine if you were just as miserable as he was? And then, when he finally broke his silence, he said, "I don't understand why this is happening to me." And, of course, his friends were helpful and tried to, you know, help him out. But, you know, Job, he was really saying, you know, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and He is my fortress, and in Him will I trust." See, God already knew what he was going to do. And that's why he said to Satan, "Have you seen my servant Job? There is none like him. He is upright and he is a good man. He that dwelleth in the secret place."
Thank you.
cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me out of his holy hill. My glory and lifter of my head. Hallelujah. My glory and lifter of my head. Amen. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me out of his holy hill. My glory and lifter of my head. Hallelujah. My glory and lifter of my head. Amen. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me out of his holy hill. My glory and lifter of my head. Hallelujah. My glory and lifter of my head. Amen. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head.
Amen.
You'll find that in Psalm 3.
Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth thee. Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth thee. And to him that ordereth this conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth thee. Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth thee. And to him that ordereth this conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth thee. Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth thee. And to him that ordereth this conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth thee. Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth thee. And to him that ordereth this conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God.
Amen.
Psalm 50:23. Holy, 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 Lord.
merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Thank you, Lord.
Story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, for wonderful it seems that for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when it seems of glory, I sing the new, new song. 'Twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Amen.
I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the yet been told, I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. In His joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. In His joy unspeakable and full of glory, all the hap has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told.
Amen.
You agree with that?
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Setting me free, this Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free, this very hour. It's down in my soul, it's making me whole. It's setting me free, 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 this Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power.
setting me free. This very hour, it's down in my soul. It's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power.
Hallelujah.
Wow. If that's true,
amen.
Then the next song is Sanctuary, as we press in toward God now.
Yes.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary,
amen.
Pure and holy, tried and true. Let's sing it.
A sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Prepare me,
hallelujah,
to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living,
yes, Lord,
sanctuary for you. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Shine on me,
shine in me. Let the light of Jesus shine in me. Shine in me. Shine in me. Let the light of Jesus shine in me. Shine through me. Shine through me. Let the light of Jesus shine through me. Shine through me. Shine through me. Let the light of Jesus shine through me. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. The trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God His Son must spare, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bear. Bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Amen.
Thank you. temple. His peace fills my heart. His joy and His glory He did wondrously impart. The blessed name of Jesus brought me freedom from sin. Now His praise fills the temple, and His Spirit dwells within. Your praise fills the temple, Your peace fills my heart. Your joy and Your glory You did wondrously impart. Your blessed name, O Jesus, brought me freedom from sin. Now Your praise fills the temple, and Your Spirit dwells within. His praise fills the temple, His peace fills my heart. His joy and His glory He did wondrously impart. The blessed name of Jesus brought me freedom from sin. Now His praise fills the temple, and His Spirit dwells within. Your praise fills the temple, Your peace fills my heart. Your joy and Your glory You did wondrously impart. Your blessed name, O Jesus, brought me freedom from sin. Now Your praise fills the temple, and Your Spirit dwells within.
Amen.
There is no other name given under heaven whereby which men may be saved, that brings us freedom from sin, saves us, redeems us.
I have a prophecy. The Lord was showing me that we are not built to carry burdens on this life. We are not built to carry depression and sorrow and problems of any kind. And that's why He put His Holy Spirit in us, so that all these things would be under us, the burdens, the sorrows, and all the things that we deal with in life. We are not meant to be pulled down by these. Instead, we are meant to live above these circumstances. We are in heavenly. He has placed us in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. And so this takes faith. And faith is something that some people think, well, I don't have that yet. Maybe I'll get some more. I need faith, but I don't know how to get it. So the Lord wants us to understand that faith is has several elements to it that sometimes are ignored or misunderstood. And one of them is that we need to trust. And of course, it's hard to trust somebody you can't see. And we're so used to seeing things and hearing things and reality. We call it reality. But actually, reality is God's world. And this earth is temporal. It's not reality that's permanent. And so we have to live in that realm and trust Him, that He is the one who is permanent. He is the one who is true. And the more we know of God, the more we can trust Him. So it's a matter of knowing God and getting into His Word and leaning on Him and yielding to His way and denying our way. And as we walk with the Lord, this faith and this trust will develop. And then along with that, we have to get into obedience, because that's part of faith. Faith without works is dead. So if we trust Him, really trust Him, then we will obey. And we will obey to the death. And really, what blessings there is in death. We will get to be within the presence of the Lord, which is going to be something so much more wonderful than life on this earth. So there is nothing at all in this earth should ever be getting us down. Nothing. We can be walking above circumstances at all times. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word which is a lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. We praise you and thank you for a glorious day. And I ask you right now to have it your way, Lord. Have it your way, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Come all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, we thank you and praise you today. O Lord, for your promises. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 1:7, it says, the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. More precious than gold that perisheth. Though it will be tried with fire, it will be found unto praise and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love. And although we see him not, yet we shall rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. With joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. And Lord, we thank you and praise you today for a glorious day, for a day of victory, a day of excitement, a day of celebration. Thank you for, O Lord, that your Spirit was with us as we were singing unto you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for your presence with us, O Lord, which means so much to us. In your presence there's fullness of glory, and on your right hand there will be pleasures forevermore. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for one promise after the other, Lord. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace we are saved. Hallelujah. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It is God that girded us with strength and makes our way perfect. He makes our feet like hinds' feet. He seateth us upon our high places. And Lord, we thank you and praise you today for victory, O Lord, for a mighty victory. We pray, O Lord, as your Holy Spirit moves. Oh, thank you, Father, that every heart will be touched today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the meek. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison for those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God, to comfort those that are mourning, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Father. We pray today for the anointing upon the pastor. He will bring the message to us. Give him joy and peace in his heart. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Give him the freedom to preach and let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword, we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anoint every ear to hear, that will hear the word and understand it and apply it in our lives. We bless you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. praise your holy name. Now as we are about to receive this offering, as every man purpose in their heart, let them give. Not grudgingly, not of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that you mean what you say. Thank you, Lord, for blessing the church's finances. Blessing them mightily, we pray, Father. And thank you today for doing a mighty work, a deep work in each and every one of us, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anoint everyone that gives a testimony today. And Lord, and we thank you and praise you today for a day of victory, a day of celebration, a turnaround. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let God have his way, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, all the honor. And pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And all God's children said, amen, amen and amen.
At this time, the people at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church are giving their tithes and offerings as part of the worship service. You too can participate even if you're not physically with us by writing out a check and mailing it, or using the donation link at the bottom of the homepage. Please remember that God uses His people to finance His work on this earth. God gives us the ability to work and make money, and in return asks that His people give back a tenth. Thank you for being obedient and being part of our service.
Praise the Lord. You know, we had a wonderful evening here last Saturday evening, and I only got halfway through my testimony, my CD. I looked up at the clock, and I was 10 minutes over, and I didn't know what happened, but we had a good time. Maybe we'll have a chance to finish that up one day then. But, you know, I sang a few songs off my CDs, and I didn't get to the one I wanted to get to at the very end. It's the one I wanted to sing for Ina. You know, and I know that she's heard me sing this before a long time ago, but, you know, I think it's apropos right now for what she's going through. And I know that it was a kind of a confirmation yesterday. I have a brother-in-law who's going through similar situation. And he just found this out recently. And last night we were having my mother's 85th birthday. And you know, he was sitting next to me, and he's lost quite a bit of weight. And I asked him how it was going, and he says, well, you know, Billy, says, God's got it all in control. And that's the name of this song. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. He put my life in his hands. I put my life in his hands. So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in his plans. 'Cause I've put my life in his hands. He holds the stars in the sky. He holds the land back from the sea. Now if he can do all of that, surely he can take care of you and me. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Yes, God's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He holds the stars in the sky. He holds the land back from the sea. Now if he can do all of that, I know he can take care of you and me. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. Yes, he's got it all in control. My God's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. He's got it all in control.
Amen.
It's a prayer time. And we got some things that have come in today. And I want to begin from Germany. This is a request from Gina, so I'm going to read it to you here. I do not know if you will read this before the church service today, but if you do, and there is room for my prayer request, please pray for me. Over the last 2 years, I lost many teeth. I had bad teeth from early childhood because my grandmother fed me the wrong way. I saw a dentist who wanted to help me and get me some implants. But since it's required for me to take some really bad drugs before the procedure to reduce the danger of infection, I chose not to do it and trust God instead for creating new healthy teeth in my mouth where they were missing. It's now more than 1 year that I'm believing for this and running around with several tooth gaps, but I did not see the manifestation yet. Now yesterday it happened that another tooth broke away just when I was eating a sandwich. This time it's one of the front teeth, so there's no way that I can wait for a fixing of the problem because I'm ashamed to talk to people, even smile. So I need a quick miracle now, otherwise I will have no other option to go to the oral surgeon to get this fixed, which is no good option because of the drugs they were forced me to take. And if everything is fixed in my mouth that needs to be fixed, it will surely cost me at least 10 or 12,000 euros, which will be about $15,000. Since my teeth are so bad in general, they would also see the necessity to pull the remaining teeth also. So you see, I really need a miracle. Thanks for praying for me. Yours in Christ, Gina. Now the question is, can God heal teeth? Can God replace teeth? Well, now let's talk about that, because I'd really like to discuss that with you. You know, a tooth is a hard thing, right? You know, it's part of a bone system. And do you think that God is capable? I mean, God can heal a headache. He can heal a wound. He can heal cancer. He can heal this. But can God really heal a tooth? I would say he can. So let's believe for Gina that God will help her with this. They don't have a whole lot of money. And, you know, when you go to the dentist, you have all this work. I mean, it just cleans you out. So we're going to pray for this today. So I'm going to give this to someone with faith that believes for healing for the teeth. Okay, that's Germany. Let's go to Belgium now. This is the small update regarding our event with Dr. Ravi Zacharias from Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. We have three events lined up for January 31st to 2nd of February. First, on January 31st, they're going to be at the University of Leuven. And the topic that's going to be the change of European identity, the meaning of life. There's going to be a lot of students. February 1st, they're going to be in a city hall in Antwerp. That's a big city port. That matter of fact, it's the biggest port in Europe, Antwerp. And they're going to be speaking there about navigating a more diverse Europe without God. The 2nd of February, he's going to be in Brussels. Actually, in Brussels Christian Center. That's the capital of Belgium. And we have also invited guest speaker from the Rabbi Zacharias Ministry. They have a campus in Oxford. And he was there last week and spoke about apologetics. So they want prayer for that. We are currently pouring all our available funds into this event. I'm also working to raise support from local churches in the Flemish side of Belgium. I'm convinced that God will use these events to bring people to salvation. When he says the Flemish side, Gert is a South African, but he's a Dutch South African. That's his descent. South Africa has the white people, they are from their Dutch ancestry. Belgium has not their own language. They're either from Holland or they are from France. So that's why that country has not really been doing too well over the years. So that's why he's going to the Dutch side, but they call it the Flemish side. I am convinced that God will use these events to bring people to salvation. In parallel, we are still working to find a way into the European Parliament. My letter to the now former Belgian Prime Minister is still unanswered. I believe God will do a marvelous work in his life as well. This is what he wants us to pray for, that God would help them to raise the finances, 10,000 euro. The event will be a kingdom success, that God would open doors to the EU Parliament, that God would open a door to the heart of the former Belgian Prime Minister. So we're going to pray for that. Now we've got some local prayer needs here. And first of all, let me talk about the oil situation. The price of oil stayed flat last week after it took a drop in the middle of the week. The price of oil fell 55 cents per barrel, ended up at $99.41. Consistent prayer should continue as there still is an oil glut in the world, but hunger for a larger profit is driving up the price. We also need to pray that Israel does not strike Iran in a surprise attack to take out their nuclear facilities. If that happens, there will be a major disruption of oil from the Middle East, and the price of oil could then reach more than $250 per barrel, which would mean about 10 bucks a gallon for us here. Now, I have received some intelligence reports. I subscribe to different Jewish sources, and they have a way of, intelligence-wise, they let the Jews know what's going to happen. there's a window between December 15th to January 15th that they say if there is going to be a strike, it will be between December 15th or January 15th. Israel has nuclear weapons, which they have denied for years. As a nation, they have no legal right to state that Iran does not have the right to develop their own nuclear weapons. Neither do they have any legal right to strike them militarily. If they try to justify a preemptive attack, it should be clear that this would be an act of war. I'm not the pro-Iranian. I'm just looking at the legal issue here now. After all, when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, it was a preemptive attack by the Japanese, right? They simply said, let's hit them first. Now, what did we say? Well, the President and Congress of the United States, they were not amused. They saw this as an act of war and responded accordingly. What makes the state of Israel different from all other nations? Let's pray about this. Please continue to pray for my wife, Ina, as she's in a very aggressive program to combat the cancer that has attacked her. Let us pray that God will use this program to bring her a complete healing once and for all. Reggie Shin was taken to the hospital last week, had surgery on December 3rd. At this time, we do not know his condition, but we want to pray for him that God will once again raise him up from that sick bed. That's all we know. We are not told any more information. And then finally, our need to pay for social security taxes is still here. So far, we have received 19% of what we need. There are not 20 days left before we must pay the IRS. Please pray with us that God will move upon his people to help us out. Charles told me this. He did not want to have a ministry in prison, and neither do I. So please help us out. Prayer warriors, come on up.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, and you have heard all of these requests mentioned, and they are very much too much for us. We do not have the power or the wisdom that we need, and we're asking for your guidance, your wisdom, and your power to solve these problems. We thank you in advance because we know that you have a solution for all these problems, and like the song said, you have it under control. Everything is under your control, and we thank you for that. Right now, we bring Shireen before you. We miss her today in church. She has been overcome with some kind of reaction to the mold and the leaves that she was raking, and she can hardly breathe, and she had a severe headache, and so she was afraid to drive in that condition. So, Lord, she prayed, I prayed, and now we're praying again that this will completely be healed and she will not have another episode like this. We thank you for your healing power in Jesus' name. Amen.
First of all, I want to pray for my mother. She has been strengthened. Her brain is clearer than it has been before. And I pray for her every day that her brain will stay clear so that she can think and she can pray. And I also ask God that he will place many good thoughts into her mind. And to let her know that, you know, she needs to talk with her Heavenly Father about those things. And so I get reports that from Sweden that her brain is unusually clear. So I'm praising God every day, but the person that I usually talk to is not a believer and would not understand if I said praise God for that. So I pray anyway, though, that he would come to understanding, because the gospel has been presented to him and he knows, and he sort of believes that there is a God, but he doesn't know anything about Jesus. So I pray, God, that you will help him understand supernaturally, because he doesn't want to hear from a living person about, you know, we don't, he doesn't want us to witness to him. That's everything there. And also I want to tell you, Gina, that have faith regarding your teeth. God can do miracles for you. I knew that as soon as John talked about it, that was to be something that I needed to talk about and to pray about. So, Gina, I have had a similar problem like you. I have a tooth that is in the process of growing, so it is possible. Amen. That God can grow back a tooth that were sort of crumbling, and he is doing the work. So I say to you, Gina, that you will have faith. God can do it. But it's going to be in his own time, of course, so have patience. And I praise God for you that you were able to send us this prayer request. And I pray that God will bless your entire family.
Father God, we want to lift up the situation with Gert Timmerman and the ministry that he's involved in over in Belgium. And we thank you, Father God, that they have an agenda. They plan to have these meetings. And we thank you, Lord, that you will prepare the ground before them. You will fill up the seats. And we know that it is pretty dark in Europe as far as the gospel. And so we thank you, Father God, that your word's going to go out. People will be saved. And that the right people will be reached. We thank you also, Lord, that it will be broadcast and that it will go far and wide, Lord. So we thank you for doing a great work there in Belgium for these three meetings. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we just lift up the Social Security tax situation to you right now, Lord, and we know, Lord, that you are our provider. And Lord, as we have 20 days left, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just move upon your people, Lord God. Lord, that some could give maybe very little, some could give more, Lord, but we know, Lord God, that Lord, that you are their provider, and that Lord, that you will move upon them, Lord, but you also bless them, Lord God, for giving, Lord, and they would be cheerful givers, Lord, as you've asked, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We believe you for that, Lord. And we believe that in every day, Lord God, for these next 20 days, that some will come in and will meet that goal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing in America. Thank you for what you're doing with Christians and how you're changing our lives and helping us to grow and grow closer to you, Lord God. Lord, we come to you to lift you up, Lord God, over the situation that is happening in Israel, Iran, and throughout the world. And Lord, we know that you are ultimately in charge of this situation. And Lord, we pray over these oil prices that are continually rising and rising. And knowing that the oil companies made $650 billion last year in profits. And Lord God, we just we pray that you will intervene and drive the prices of oil down and do the work that you do in heaven, Lord God, to help us to be able to withstand the evil days and all to stand. Lord God, we just give you the praise and honor and glory, knowing that you're in charge, you're in control of all things. And we thank you and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we're about to pray for Reggie's sin, I would like each and every person here to stretch your hands towards the altar, please. Anyone that agrees that God is able to heal Reggie's sin. Amen. And those who are watching us through the webcast, pray that they agree with us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask about Reggie's sin. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the God that healeth us. You are the great physician. You are the one that never fails. You forgave us for all our iniquities, and you healed all our diseases. And we stand upon your word today that you are the Jehovah Rapha. You are the healer of our bodies and the savior of our souls. And we lift up to you, Reggie, sin to you, Lord. Amen. It may seem impossible in the medical profession that this man will be healed. As a matter of fact, they send him home so he can die. And Lord, this man shall not die but live and proclaim the works of God. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your resurrection power coming upon him right now. From the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And we pray, O Lord, for complete healing. The kidney problem will disappear. The heart problem will disappear. Because the Lord our God touched him. And he will not be the same again. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for touching Reggie's sin in the name of Jesus. And to you we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Also, I want to lift up to you, Pamela. Oh, Lord, has a problem with the gums. Oh, Lord, you know the situation. And we pray, Lord, for a creative miracle. In her mouth, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you touch her, you heal her, and Lord, restore her completely, and will be no more problem in the teeth. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for a mighty victory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
And Father God, we lift up Sister Ina to you right now. A little over 2 years ago, she came into my hospital room. I had colon cancer. And she said, the Lord gave me a scripture. You shall live and not die, but shall proclaim the works of the Lord. And I give that right back to her now. She's been healed in heaven. And she's going to be healed on earth. Her eye was healed in Europe. And she is not going to have she's not going to have skin cancer. And she's going to have eyelids grow back. She's going to have everything that you gave her when she was born. And we thank you and praise you that if she has anything in her heart that the Holy Spirit's trying to show her, that she will hear him and she'll give it up to Jesus, whatever it might be. Because there's a reason sometimes. My reason was I had things in my heart and slander. And there's a spiritual root for whatever that is. Show it to her and have her receive it and get rid of it. And when she has the CAT scan, she's not going to have any sign of cancer in her head, her eye, or any place on her body. And we thank you and praise you, Father God, for your awesome ways, your supernatural ways with us. She's already healed, and we believe it, and we're going to keep saying thank you, God, for healing Ina Terrell. In Amen. Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Message to Gina over there in Germany. You notice I'm the one that snapped this out of the pastor's hand because I had the faith for you. And it comes at a good time, Gina, because I've been building a super faith for Ina for the last couple, 3 weeks. And but I want to just help you to remember one thing. The gift of faith is merely one of the gifts that we are receiving from God. Sometimes, as you know, the scripture was read today again. So, the faith is a gift from God. Remember, when we're saved, it says we're saved by the grace of God, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. So, Lord, I thank you for the power of grace. I thank you for the gift of grace, the gift of mercy, the gift of repentance. And most of all, thank you for the gift of healing. So in the name of Jesus, and by the way, Gina, to say, if you have room for me today, include my need, we always have room for you and everybody else. So never, never feel that you can't send us something because we've got the power. We've got the power of the grace of God. So I pray right now that a solution will come to you with regard to your teeth. And don't fail to hear whatever small voice may come, it may be healed one way, it may be healed another. But we have the faith in this church that your situation will be resolved by the grace of God. So we pray right now for that grace and mercy and healing for you, Gina, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to lift up our sister Teresa DiCarlo to you, Father God. Yes, Heavenly Father, she's sick and she's in need. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would just heal her body, Heavenly Father. Just send her a healing, Heavenly Father, meet her needs, Father God, so that she can give her the supernatural strength, Heavenly Father. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind and chain any demonic force or sickness, Heavenly Father, and we cast out of her body right now. Yes. In the name of Jesus. It has no power over her. Yes. It can't make her sick. And Father God, we just pray that your supernatural strength will come to her, that you, the Holy Spirit, will comfort her, Heavenly Father, and give her the strength, and that we will see her here with smiling faces, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for these prayers on the altar. The smoke is going up in heaven, Father God, and it smells a savor to you, Lord. And we know that in due time, every one of these prayers should be answered. And we thank you for that now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay, we're going to take a couple minutes for testimonies, but I think I wanted to share something. I heard a preacher this morning on the television, and he kind of surprised me. But I always thought that in heaven, the language was going to be English. Didn't you guys think that? Oh, he says Swedish. Well, he says, this preacher says it's going to be Hebrew. So here's the verse he gave. I'll read it to you. It's Acts 26, verse 12. And a few more verses. He says, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So is that the message you got from that? That the heavenly language is Hebrew? No. I didn't get it either, but so I looked it up, you know. I thought, well, that's interesting. I'll look it up. But there's a lot of preaching going on out there, and we need to check it out. You know what I mean? So anyway, I thought that was interesting, that this preacher was declaring Hebrew to be the heavenly language. We all know it's going to be Swedish. Right, Peter? Okay. This week, I had a pretty interesting week. And I spent Monday and Tuesday pretty much with my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law and my wife. So my mother-in-law, she took her last breath on Tuesday night at 10:30, or shortly after 10:30, and passed on and went to heaven. And it was a very interesting ordeal to go through. And My sister-in-law came down from Washington. My brother-in-law lives in Chico. And I saw a side of my brother-in-law that I had never seen before. I was really moved by that. And he really loved his mother. But it was very nice to know for me and for them also that her testimony was that she believed in Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And as we went through her Bible and went through her stuff, there was testimony after testimony written down in her own handwriting that she was awaiting her home in heaven. And so it was a good reassurance for all of us. And anyway, I was blessed to go through that. Now, I went over on Monday morning, and she never spoke a word from Monday through Tuesday night. But on Sunday night, I had went over with my wife, and we went down with her to dinner. She's in a care facility, and so she was coherent, and we went down and we're having dinner, and so we talked just a little bit, you know, but she wasn't feeling that well, and then there were some other people, you know, I call them inmates, that were there. And so the one lady was talking to me, and so I asked her, I said, well, who's the president of the United States? You know, I don't know how we got on that. We were checking memory, I guess. And she says, well, I don't know. And my mother-in-law says, Obama. That's the only word she spoke at dinner. And that was her last word spoken to me, believe it or not. But it was great peace to know that the person that you're with that's dying is going to heaven. And I actually even heard my wife sing Amazing Grace, and that blew my mind. I had never heard her sing that. So... And I forgot what I was going to say. But this morning, you know, we talked a lot about the Bible too, me and my brother-in-law, sister-in-law. And I know God kind of sent me over there Monday morning to pray with my mother-in-law to get some things resolved before she checked out. So I did that. And so she didn't have to deal with them at the judgment seat. And I believe she was coherent. I mean, she wasn't speaking, but I believe she was receiving. And then when my mother-in-law breathed her last breath, my brother-in-law went into a kind of a tirade. He just went berserk. And he was thrashing about and all kinds of stuff like that and wailing, and my wife was trying to keep him calm. And then he ended up on the floor in the hallway, and so I just said, in the name of Jesus, I bind those tormenting spirits. And he stopped immediately, and then he got up. And the next day he told me, he said, when you prayed that prayer, I was immediately relieved. And he thanked me for being there and praying with him. So, and I think, you know, when I was sitting there this morning, something came to me. Throughout my life, I've always had the question, you know, why I mean, and we discussed this, I believe, this past week. None of us chose to be here, right? In God's, in this creation that God created. And we know there's two exit points, according to the Bible. It's either hell or heaven. And I don't know about you, but for many times I've questioned that, you know, saying, is that fair? You know, we didn't ask to be put in this position. And then I have to go to the Word and say, and it says, can the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? You know, it's not our choosing. And anyway, it kind of came to me this morning, what would the alternative be? The only other alternative would be that you never existed, period. You know what I'm saying? If God didn't create us, we would have never existed. So we would have never had any family relationships. We would have never had friendships. We would never have the opportunity for eternal life. And for the non-believer, you know, he rejected Jesus pretty much. But anyway, I got my answer this morning. What would the alternative be? To have never existed. And would I have rather had that that alternative? So the answer would be for me, no. I'm glad I was created and exist. So, and I've dwelt on that question for years and years and years. So I was given, that's the answer God gave me this morning. So is there any other testimonies? Okay, Joe?
Well, this week I was pointed by Thomas, in fact, to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I thought, you know, I've never spent enough time in that book. I think I'll take a look at the book of Ecclesiastes. And I was looking at a scripture that he had pointed me to, and actually I was caught up in one that another section that really caught my eye. Sometimes the Lord just makes things jump off the page at me, it seems. And as I was in chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 said, "And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly." And he found that in knowing wisdom, he found a vexation of spirit. "For in much wisdom," he says in verse 18, "is much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." I thought, well, wait a second. Isn't this the same guy that who wrote the book of Proverbs? Didn't Solomon tell us in Proverbs? And so I turn back to Proverbs 1, and in verse 4, he's saying, "To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." And in verse 22, he says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorners, in scorning? And the fools hate knowledge." So here's the same man who's saying that grief and sorrow accompany wisdom and knowledge. And yet he's admonishing us to take upon ourselves wisdom and knowledge unto ourselves. And I thought, well, aren't they contradictory? And it brought full circle to me when Carol today gave that word and said that we need to realize that things like grief and sorrow are not something that we have to be the effect of so deeply. In fact, Paul said, "I would not that you sorrow even as others who have no hope," because we do have great hope. But more importantly, when you think of Jesus, it speaks in Isaiah 53, 3 and 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Here we are talking about grief and sorrows, and it was his work that came, and we esteemed him smitten, stricken, and afflicted as a result. And I was thinking that way. I was thinking, you know, grief and sorrow, that's something that I didn't see how it could be connected to attaining to wisdom and knowledge. But here was the wisest man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. And when he walked this earth, he was known as a man of many sorrows, well acquainted with grief. And he wept over Jerusalem when he walked into the town and they received him not as their Savior and as the Messiah. And he wept over Lazarus dying. And even though he was the resurrection and the life and brought Lazarus back from the grave, he so identified in his knowledge and in his wisdom of all that is, he still so identified with the plight of mankind that in that wisdom and in that knowledge, he still experienced the grief and the sorrow that we experience. So thank you, Carol, for that word today that you gave to us that brought that full circle to me, that the two things are related, you know, that with much wisdom and with much knowledge, we still walk through a world where we experience grief and sorrow, and not to consider it an unusual thing.
I've been reading the book of Ecclesiastes, and it, later on in there also it says that you're going to be better off having experienced sorrow more than, you know, party time. But he talks about both in there. Pretty interesting. And you know, you got to read it and reread it to get some of that out of there. Okay, Bob, you had testimony?
It's a great risk just to follow Joe DiCarlo. But I knew he was going to speak on that because we had a discussion last week after church in the hallway about some things that we were currently reading. But what I want to do, and I'm going to give a testimony right now. I want to thank Bill Chacon, too, of we discussed last week. And he said, whatever you do, because Diane and I were in Oregon when Jim Miller was here. And so we missed him. I didn't want to, that's for sure. But Bill said, get his book because it is very, very vital. And especially for people like me and Bill, I'm going to identify with Bill and Joe to some extent. Because a lot of time when people say to me, well, when did you become a Christian? I have to say, which time? Now, a lot of nice, sweet little innocent people that came to Christ and they just had a sweet little life from that point on, they don't understand that. But those of us that knocked around the world a little bit, we know that you come to Christ and then something gets in your way. It could be women, could be anything. But whatever it is, could be motorcycles. It takes you away from the way in life and the truth. So you come back and everything is working real good for a while and maybe you get cut away again. And I used to think, well, boy, there's something really bad in me for that to happen. But it isn't. Some people are just passionate about things and they move that way. But anyway, Bill, you were absolutely right. Now, I have a problem in my house. Things come into the house. We subscribe to probably 15 different alternative healing things and things like that for years. When they come in the door, I don't see them again because Diane snaps those things and goes in her private little reading area. And maybe a couple months go by and say, when did this come in from Dr. Douglas? Oh, a couple months ago. So we got the book last week. Thanks very much, Peter, for bringing it in. And I haven't seen it since. But I've heard it. Because Diane, who very rarely speaks, but when she does, you want to listen. So she can run it in and said, let's go into the reading area. So we turn on the reading light, and I sit here, and she started reading that book to me. And it was really coming alive. Because, and it also addresses what was spoken in the sermon today, and in a sense, some what Joe had said, too. It's always bothered me, why in the world have I been so successful in some things, but I never devoted that energy to saving souls, which is my job. It's the job that each of us were given. And so in that book, when he talks about that he was enjoying doing guitars and playing and going to little churches and singing, I know exactly how that feels. Because I've been here. I know what it feels like to give to God through music. But then for God to tell him instead of that to leave that and wind up opening an airplane painting business. But that's what his That's where his skill, that's where his heart lies. And so as a result of that, he's able to give away millions of dollars and support ministries for quite a number of years. And then that was lost, and he's starting over again. So that's happened to me so many times. And now I know I should concentrate and listen for the word and stick with what I'm good at and not dibble-dabble here, dibble-dabble there. So on a lighter note, in Pastor's sermon, he talked about the advantage of being older than 50. Actually, it should be older than 60. So I appreciate that. I've been looking for an advantage for that. But the truth is, being in the healing and natural healing business, we find that all the time. When somebody is 60 or so, but they've got some problems, they're easier to work with than somebody that's 20 because they didn't grow up on Hershey bars and getting free rides everywhere. The parents pick them up. In my generation, if you didn't walk, you didn't go somewhere. And, you know, some of you know some of my story. It's not too far away from what Bill talked about in his testimony. I also lived in one room with my mom at one time, and I had to carry water from a gas station in a pail, and that's I'm getting emotional here. And that's what we drank out of. And my mom had to run down, put her bathing suit on, go down two blocks to the irrigation ditch, which was ice water on Pike's Peak about 80 miles before. And she'd say, last one in is a chicken, you know. And that's how she had to take baths, because there was no water in that little place we lived in. I know what it's like to live that way. But I also know what it's like to grow up when you made your own toys. You know, you found some old wheels, you got an orange crate, and you nailed the wheels to it. And my favorite thing was, in those days, cars had tubes, and the, you know, tires had tubes. And tubes would get worn out. And they had patches all over them, and finally they were just no good anymore. So this was ideal. We used to take scissors and cut strips from those tubes, so you get a piece of rubber about like that. And then you make yourself your own homemade, can I say this, gun. And the longer the barrel, the more you can stretch that thing. Then you nail a clothespin, the kind that squeezes, on the back, and you got your pistol grip. And you pull that thing and wait for Raymond to get walk around the corner or something like that. The longer the barrel, the more it snapped on somebody's body. And so we made our own toys. We really did. And I didn't see television either for, well, briefly went to L.A. once, and they had it earlier. But otherwise, it didn't get to Nebraska and Colorado until 1950. Well, I was already in a service, and when I saw television big time, before I was shipped overseas. So we didn't grow up that way, and I'm grateful for it now. I'd like to turn back a few years, but anyway, thanks for bringing that up too. And thanks, Bill.
Okay, any more testimonies? No. I'm going to close. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word that we heard here today. Your Bible tells it like it is, Lord. The one we read hasn't been redone. So we thank you for that. We thank you for a good week this week. We ask your blessing upon everyone as they go out and do their work. And we just thank you for keeping watch over us, keeping us safe, Lord, as we travel the highways. And we just praise your name for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Difficult for thee, nothing is too difficult for thee, great and mighty God, great in counsel.
is too difficult for thee.